2 weeks ago, we highlighted how providers of ethics classes in government schools can't get the same tax concession status as providers of religion classes. It has meant that organisations like Primary Ethics, which was established by the St James Ethics Centre, couldn't seek donations to continue providing ethics classes to 200 New South Wales schools. Simon Longstaff heads the St James Ethics Centre, and a couple of weeks ago we asked him why, if the program's been running without this particular ability to have tax-deductible donations, this particular status, why those classes couldn't keep going. This is what he had to say.
Well, it's been able to do so off the back of St James Ethics Centre, the kind of the follow-through from its project that it used in the first instance to set the thing up. But the Ethics Centre is a public benevolent institution where its principal objects are to do with the relief of suffering and distress, and so it can't go on running a big operation like Primary Ethics, which is why it set it up as something separate. And unfortunately, the government has said it can only operate by donations. That's the state government. But the Commonwealth government has denied it the one opportunity it has to do that, because most trusts and foundations are not allowed to give money to an organisation unless it gets DGR status. So it says, on the one hand, you must do it, but then the federal government says you may not do it.
Simon Longstaff speaking to us just a couple of weeks ago. Well, last week on Mornings, former Queensland Attorney General Linda Lavarch, she chairs the working group that's been established to investigate this issue. She explained how a clunky system of classifications was preventing common sense from prevailing. Well, it seems the Gillard government agrees. This morning we can tell you that there will now be a provision for those who provide ethics classes to get what is called deductible gift recipient status, DGR status. The amendment's going to go before Parliament in the upcoming winter sitting. David Bradbury is the Assistant Federal Treasurer and joins us this morning. Good morning, David Bradbury.
Good morning, Linda.
Why the change of heart on this?
Well, look, it's not a change of heart in the sense that the original application that we received was to specifically list primary ethics in the tax laws. And that would mean to amend the tax laws and to put in there primary ethics as a specific organisation that would receive deductible gift recipient status. But I think that the general issue, which we have always had a great deal of sympathy for, has been the suggestion that there is a distinction in the way in which those funds that might be established to support religious instruction are treated from a tax perspective compared to organisations like Primary Ethics that are now in the business of providing ethics-based instruction in schools that don't receive the same tax concessions. This is a very complex area of tax law, and that might not surprise you, but the way the system works is that there are a set of categories in the law. And if you fall within one of those categories, you can go off to the tax commissioner and he'll give you a big stamp and say you're a deductible gift recipient. Now, in the case of Primary Ethics, they did not meet the requirements of any of those categories. Now, if you don't meet the requirements of the categories, the last resort is to go to the government and say, can you change the law and put our name in the law? Now, we refused to do that because we felt that there would be a range of other ethics-based organisations that would see that as a precedent and would come forward and ask to be included specifically in the law. But what we're announcing today is that we've actually gone further than what Primary Ethics were asking us to do, and we are amending the existing category that exists in relation to religious-based instruction to open that up to include also all providers of ethics-based instruction in schools.
Okay, so you'll create a new category under the legislation?
Yes, well, we're going to expand an existing category, but what that will mean is that organisations, not only Primary Ethics, but other similar organisations, and we know that there aren't that many others out there at the moment, but we would certainly expect that with the success of what has been trialled in New South Wales, that there is the real possibility that other states will also consider allowing ethics-based instruction. Now, that means for any organisation, Primary Ethics included, into the future, if one of those organisations wants to become a deductible gift recipient and get their donors have tax deductions for the money that they give, they will simply have to go to the ATO and get endorsed, rather than come to the government and say, please change the tax laws and specifically put our name in Division 30 of the Income Tax Assessment Act, so that we can get these deductions.
Okay, so when will this come into effect?
Well, look, we hope to introduce it the legislative amendment. It does require an amendment to the Act in the first place so that we can expand the category. We are looking to introduce that in the next session of Parliament, and we would be hopeful that this wouldn't be a very contentious amendment, and we'd be looking to get it through as soon as possible. And that would mean that Primary Ethics and others will then have the ability to come forward to show the tax commissioner that they comply with that category, and they'll get DGR status, and no doubt that will encourage many others to continue to contribute and support what I think is a very worthy cause.
And assuming that all of that happens in the Parliament and goes through, then those offering ethics classes will be on the same tax basis as those offering religion classes?
That's right. Like, each individual organisation will need to come to the tax commissioner,
sure,
and to get endorsed, but provided their constitution or whatever their constituting documents might be, mean that they fall within that category, then they'll get the tick and they'll be able to, subject to all the usual governance arrangements that are in place, just to make sure that DGR funds don't get exploited in any way.
Okay. Do you expect any opposition to this? Because there are those who don't support ethics classes in schools at all.
Well, look, I'm not sure whether there will be any opposition. For my part, I've always approached this issue on the basis that I think that there is a very legitimate place for ethics-based instruction in our schools. I think the early results in terms of what has been seen in New South Wales has been very positive. I have previously expressed the view that I regret somewhat that in parts of Sydney, like Sydney's West, in my neck of the woods, that we haven't seen the same take-up in terms of the contributions of volunteers in making ethics available in schools. And I know that Primary Ethics have certainly said that with amendments such as this allowing DGR status, there will be, they believe, an opportunity to continue to expand the work that they're doing in our schools to give more and more students the choice where religious-based instruction may not be something that they or their parents believe is appropriate for them.
David Bradbury's with us, Assistant Federal Treasurer. I can't let you go without asking you about the superannuation changes that your government announced last Friday. Yeah, I think fairly widely seen as a pretty sensible set of changes, but pretty limited. Isn't it the reality that you're tinkering around the edges because you fear an electoral backlash if you do anything more?
Well, look, I think if you have a look at the impact of the changes that we're proposing over the next 10 years, and let's be fair dinkum about this. If you want to tackle some of the challenges in superannuation, you need to recognise that superannuation is a long-term proposition. So if you look at the impact of these changes over the next 10 years, they're in the order of $10 billion. So that is not insignificant by any stretch. But we are very, very conscious of the fact that when Australians are out there working hard, putting money away for their retirement savings, we want to support and foster and encourage those retirement savings. But at the same time, we need to make sure that the system is sustainable. And the one thing I would say about the changes that we're proposing is that superannuation was put in place to give a large proportion of Australians, as many people as possible, the opportunity to retire on a decent standard of living. But what we have seen is that the concessionality of some of the arrangements mean that are people that were never, ever going to be on the pension because they were always going to be independently wealthy, now receiving tax concessions that are of such value that they're even potentially greater than what the cost of the aged pension is. Now, that is clearly not sustainable, and we are taking measures to make sure that over the long term, that by addressing things at the very wealthiest end of the spectrum, that we are able to have a sustainable system that encourages more and more Australians to save for their own retirement and do what countries like ours need, and that is to reduce the dependence upon government as we become an ageing population.
Okay, David Bradbury, thanks for your time today.
Great to be with you, Linda.
Bye-bye.